I think it's one of my shorter messages that I've done, because sometimes I just go on for ages, so you might be relieved to know it's not as long. So this one's called A Life of Light. And I was doing some like reading and different things, and I reread over The Lord of the Rings, and something stood out to me from that we cannot choose the time we live in, but as Gandalf said in Lord of the Rings, all we have to do is decide what to do with the time that's been given to us. Mm-hmm. So I started to think about that and think about what should we be doing with the time that we have. And obviously from a godly perspective, we should be looking to stand out from the crowd, but not in a self-righteous way or a judgmental way. But we should stand out because of our integrity. We should stand out because of our goodness. We should stand out in all of our actions, and that we embody and reflect the values and teachings of Jesus to give glory back to God. And so I thought I'd look into that as a theme a little bit more. And that brought me to Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it onto its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I think there's lots that you can learn from that one little bit of scripture. I think the choice of light as an analogy is really fitting, because it does stand out so clearly in the darkness. Mm. And we don't always know who's looking for that light either. Mm. So there's that side of it as well. So there's lots of different things we can delve into. I firstly thought about light in terms of life and how that helps to make things grow. The world, we wouldn't have life on planet Earth if it wasn't for light. Mm. Things wouldn't grow. Animals wouldn't be able to communicate. We would have no energy. That literally life would not exist if it wasn't for the light. And it was God who gave us light in the first place. Back in Genesis 1:3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And it's amazing, isn't it, that that's all he has to do, mm-hmm. all he has to say, and it just happens. And so we have to remember that, you know, God's power is there for us all to tap into, and all we have to do is ask, because as soon as he says it, it will be. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lesson there as well. Mm-hmm. So although light can travel within some materials, it doesn't actually require a medium. I'm going a bit scientific. So that just basically means it can travel through a vacuum. And that's why we can see light from a distant star. It can travel literally billions of light years away and still reach us on Earth. And we can see that with our naked eye. Light just keeps on travelling. It keeps on travelling until it bumps into something. And then once it does bump into something, something happens. The light either gets reflected or it's absorbed. And if you think about that as an analogy for us as Christians, that we're absorbing God's light, we're absorbing that. But not only that, we can reflect that light back out into the world and be that light on the hill. So we're something for others to see, something for others to be drawn to, because that's what light does. It draws you in like the moth to the flame, doesn't it? It draws you back in. So in John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So in that statement, he's proclaiming that he's God. He's also proclaiming that he is the source of all light and life. And that means he was there at the beginning. And when they say God said, it was through him that that light existed. It also suggests that we as people can have light by following Jesus and living like him. And that means living in the way that is pleasing to him rather than living in sin or darkness, as the analogy is trying to portray. Christians believe that Jesus's light is reflected. Christians believe that Jesus reflected the light of heaven on earth throughout his life. And that light enabled his followers to become children of light. And that's in John 12:35-36. And Jesus told them, "You're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. So he's telling his disciples there of how how they should be following him and what they should be looking to do, and therefore then they can become like him and become children of light. Now, we can't see our future. We can't see the destination or direction of travel that we will have in our journey of life, but Jesus can. Jesus can direct us towards God's light, because as he said, the light guides us through that darkness, and he can help us through life in any struggles, both spiritually or literally. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, is one of the Psalms. Psalms also says, for it is you who light my lamp, the Lord my God lightens my darkness. Again, it's all that those analogies of light and how God helps us through. In Micah, it says, do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Mm-hmm. So at all times, God is with us, even when things seem dark, even when we don't know our direction. If we look to him, he will guide our path and he will help us to find the way. So being a light in this world it can be tricky, but it should be a way to help other people to also see their way and be drawn to the truth of Jesus. So the first section of what I just talked about is how we absorb the light and how that helps us through our lives. But this section is talking about how we then reflect Jesus's light and how our example then becomes a guide to others and gives direction to people who can see a difference in how we behave, can see a difference in how we act and how we treat others or how we respond. And that light, which is ultimately Jesus in our life, shines through our actions, words and deeds. Basically, righteousness should be evident. We've heard a lot in the sermons about righteousness and the importance of righteousness. And we obviously need to try and work towards that, but it's not through our own efforts. We know it's through grace. But at the same time, we also shouldn't then try and be hiding what our gifts are or hiding what we believe. We shouldn't be ashamed of the light that is actually within us. And that's what it meant by not covering it with a bowl or hiding it away. That let it out for others to see. And that can be challenging, because light does expose sinfulness. Light does expose unrighteousness in the world, and it can be difficult if you're shining your light and people don't always respond necessarily that positively towards it. But it tells us we shouldn't hide it. Ephesians 5:7-13. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. So we are to be brave. We are to be confident. We are to expose sin. Not like going out there and pointing things out. I don't mean in that judgmental way, but just through our righteousness and allowing that to be present and not hiding how we respond to things in front of us so they can see a difference. Once that sinfulness is exposed, and this is the bit we fear, people can have different reactions. Lots of people just try and hide sin from us. Once they start to see a difference in how we behave, they might start to act different around us as they hide things from us. They could potentially lash out when we expose sin and become angry or confrontational. But hopefully they could respond with repentance to the Lord. And that's what we're all hoping and praying for. But how will we know that unless we've given it a chance by exposing it? So John 3:19-21. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. And that's us. We need to be the people that are seen plainly, because it's what God wants, and we need to be doing it in the sight of God, and what's pleasing to him needs to be more important than us worrying about other people's responses. John 12:44-46. Then Jesus cried out, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." Again, it's showing why we should be showing our light. It's showing why we should reflect Jesus in our lives. We shouldn't be searching to try and expose sin, but at the same time, we definitely shouldn't be helping people hide or ignore their sin by hiding our light. Experiencing negative reactions from others isn't obviously a pleasant experience, but as we're told in Philippians 2:14-18, do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labour in vain. Even though I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. So you can see that despite the risk of personal discomfort, rejection, we are clearly told in numerous different places by God that we shouldn't be hiding our light from others, that we should be reflecting that light back out into the world. We know that God is willing to save, and we know that God doesn't want any men to perish. And that's what we, as a church, constantly pray for. We constantly pray for our loved ones to be saved. We constantly pray for them to be drawn in and touched. But how will that happen if we don't expose sin? How will that happen if we don't shine our light? So we can't hide our light. We need to make sure it is visible to others. In Corinthians 4:3-7, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is only hidden from the people who are perishing. Satan is the god of this world. He has blinded the minds of those that don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are servants for Jesus' sake. For God said, "Let there be a light in the darkness." He has made this light shine in our hearts so that we would know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing a great treasure. Let's make it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. So as well, I think that I don't usually use that version of the Bible, but I thought that showed really clearly how the light works in our hearts. But it's really clear that it's not from our own strength. It's not our own glory that we're shining this light. It's not for praise, for self-gratification or self-ego building or anything like that. It's to give glory back to God. And it's to reflect out into the world to help bring others to him. And that's its purpose. So therefore, the message tonight is that we need to continue praying for the people in our lives. We need to continue praying for the world and those that are oppressed. We need to make sure that we're reading our Bibles. We need to make sure that we know God's promises and we're ready to share to those that may ask about our faith when they see our light shining. We need to be able to show Christ to others and look for a way to bring hope into their lives. Loving our neighbours, being light-hearted, smiling, laughing, acknowledging our humanness and our need of God is a good place to start. 1 John 1-5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So with that, we know we can stand strong, and we can be confident and unafraid of any darkness. As the quote from All the Light That We Cannot See, another book that I was reading, it states that light comes, the light that comes when you burn coal, charcoal or peat is actually sunlight. And that's true. It's been trapped in that substance for thousands of years. So the point of that is that light lasts forever. It lasts forever. A billion years inside a piece of coal. But darkness lasts for not even 1 second when you turn on a light. And that, again, that analogy, that the light is so strong, so powerful, it's instantaneous, isn't it? And the light overshadows that darkness with not even 1 second delay and can last for eternity. So therefore, we need to do as we're commanded in Acts 26:16-18. Rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and to witness to the things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you to open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So let us all live a life of light. Okay, that's it. So it was quite short. So, but should we close in prayer? Thank you, Lord, that your word is an instruction. Thank you, Lord, that for all our circumstances, we can always turn to you. Thank you, Lord, that you are that light when we need you to guide us. But thank you, Lord, that also that light can be shined through us and reflected out into that dark world. I pray, Lord, that you help us to strengthen in our faith so that we absorb more of you. And in turn, that we reflect that light back out to give you glory, but also, Lord, to save others. Lord God, it's the desire of our hearts that so many of our loved ones, friends, family, and the wider world, Lord, that they would come to know you. Lord God, there's so much darkness at this time that, Lord, people are looking for a light. They need something to turn to, and we don't know who's looking. So, Lord, just help us to have the confidence to stand strong in you, even when it feels like we're alone, or we're the only light around. Lord God, we always have you, and we always have the confidence that you will be with us. So Lord God, just help us in this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.